brings a direct indictment against false teachers as he prophesies with respect to their infiltration of the church. So we title verse chapter 2, we title Prophecy of the Infiltration of False Teachers in general. Alright, looking at the Greek here, verse 1, as he just completed the teaching in regards to what true prophecy, how it is understood, as well as where it originates from. The false prophets also arose among the people. You have the conjunction death, the E. False prophets is the noun pseudo prophetes, P S E U V O P R O P H E T E S. Pseudo prophetes, used 11 times. Also is the adjunctive use of the connective chi, K A I. Arose among the people. Arose is our verb, aorist deponent, indicative of genomai, came into existence, became G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Among the people, you have the preposition in here, lock the location, in. The people, it's a definite article with the noun, lock the masculine singular, ho, laos, L-A-O-S, laos. We saw that word used in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. And then he compares that to the next section, just as there will also be false teachers among you. Just as is your comparative conjunction host, H-O-S, will be is a future passive of the to-be verb, eimi, E-I-M-I, hence is prophetic. Will just as there will be, also again the adjunctive use of chi, false teachers. False teachers is pseudo didaskalos, P-S-E-U-D-O-D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S, pseudo didaskalos. It's a hot hox. Only Peter uses this term. False teachers. Again, pseudo false, counterfeit. Among you, same construction with the use of the preposition in, locative of location. You, in the plural here, is a personal pronoun, su, reference to the church or these local churches, SU, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them. Who is a qualitative relative pronoun, hostis, H-O-S-T-I-S. This characterizes these false teachers who will secretly introduce is a future active indicative, again maintaining the future tense here, of parisago, P-A-R-E-I-S-A-G-O, parisago, bring alongside into, literally, will secretly introduce and bring in from the outside on the sly in its negative connotation. It's a hop hop used here. Destructive heresies. Destructive is the noun, genitive feminine singular, apolia, A-P-O-L-E-I-A. Used 18 times. Then our noun, followed with our noun for heresies, is heresis. H-A-I-R-E-S-I-S. It literally means choice or options. Heresies is a term translated and used for sects or factions. It's used 9 times. Destructive heresies. Even denying the master who brought them. Even is the ascensive use of the conjunction chi. Denying is the participle present deponent of our Naomi, A-R-N-E-O-N-A-I, or Naomi, even denying the master who bought them. You had the personal pronoun autos, then, reference to the false teachers, A-U-T-O-S. Then, literally, whom he bought or purchased or redeemed, that's followed with the master. First you have the art noun for master, this botes, D-E-S-P-O-T-E-S. Then, same we saw in 1 Peter 2:18, then the adjectival participle, aorist active, who bought, redeemed, agorazo, A-G-O-R-A-Z-O, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, denoting the ultimate result, their destiny, what they are bringing upon themselves. Bringing is your circumstantial participle, present active, epago, E-P-A-G-O. Bringing upon themselves, a reflexive use of the pronoun, reflexive pronoun, heautu, H-E-A-U-T-O, U. Swift destruction. So bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Swift is the adjective, accusative feminine singular, takinos, T-A-C-H-I-N-O-S, followed with our noun for destruction. Here, the same one translated destructive, heresies above, apoleia, A-P-O-L-E-I-A. All right, rereading verse 1. The false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even, this is the degree, the extent they'll go, denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. So analysis now of verse 1. Verses 1 through 3 here constitute a single sentence and one paragraph in Greek text. Verses 1 through 3 is a single sentence, and hence it's a single paragraph in addition. It's one fluid thought. 2, what was previously implied as to false teachers seeking to influence these churches is now made specific in chapter 2. The implication of false teachers came out for the first time, actually, in chapter 1, in verse 16a, for we do not follow cleverly devised tales, implying that they've been accused of such. So what was previously implied, now he makes specifically clear. 3, chapter 2 is a direct indictment against them, a judgment brought upon them, exposing them for their true colors. 4, interpreters, essentially across the board, recognize the close link between chapters 1 and 2. 5, it is observed that 2 Peter 1:16 through chapter 2, verse 3, has a chiastic order, which is a rhetoric inversion of the second of two parallels. Second of two parallels is prophets and false prophets. The inversion, reverse of them. And A, as we saw, was emphasized first, is apostolic witness, as we saw, chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, for we did not follow. As I brought that out, that's reference to Peter and the apostles. B, then you had the subject of prophets in verses 19 through 21, regards to the prophetic word. C, now in 2:1a, we have the reverse or inversion of the second parallel prophets, false prophets, which is pseudo-prophetes in the Greek, versus simply prophetes. 2:1a, then the false teachers, that is designed to parallel, if you will, the apostles earlier, pseudo-didaskalos, 1b through verse 3, as they will become the issue and subject. 6, Peter here continues his thoughts of the Old Testament prophets ending chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. regards to the prophetic word made more sure, that looks at Old Testament prophecy, the Old Testament canon of Scripture that was before them, and as it is applied in regards to understanding of God's plan from those writings. And now he continues his thoughts here in regards to the Old Testament prophets, ending chapter 1, 19 through 21. 7, the adversity but death in the Greek brings up the fact that not all prophets were sound. Not all prophets were true prophets. With respect to the ones who were led by God the Holy Spirit otherwise. So not all prophets were sound. 8, in contrast to those led by the Holy Spirit, false prophets also arose among the people. This became the reality in regards to the age of Israel. Started off with sound doctrine, a sound communicator, and Moses, etc., and other sound communicators existed obviously throughout this dispensational existence pre-church in this regard. But during that period of time, it didn't take long for false prophets to start raising their ugly heads and infiltrating the masses. So in contrast to those led by the Holy Spirit, false prophets also arose among the people. 9, that verses 1 through 3 here are one sentence, reveals that Peter's thoughts have now become singularly focused. He's obsessed, if you will, in his thought. As to that reality and the consequences this brings upon themselves and others, the consequences of those who miscommunicate the truth of Bible doctrine, as it applies, as we will see, not only to themselves, as brought out in our verse, but also to others around them, the impact that they have. 10, he then draws a comparison that as it was in Israel, so it will be in the church as history repeats itself, just as there will also be false teachers among you. We probably, most of us have heard the adage that history constantly repeats itself. You want to know what's going to happen, you look back in history. See? Well, we have an example of history repeating itself. Just as false prophets arose in Israel, seeking to mislead the people, and doing so fairly successfully, we might add. So we will find the same condition in regards to the church age dispensation. 11, a definition of a false prophet is found in Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. Again, refreshment of our memories in regards to prophets and prophecy. We dealt with, in that doctrine, the recognition and realization of false prophets. And a good definition that succinctly characterizes them, Deuteronomy 18, verse 20. But the prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously, assuming this is what God wants, but it's not really. See, to be presumptuous, going in and doing something because you think that's what the person wants you to do, when in fact, they wish you hadn't, see, to be presumptuous. But the prophet shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak. It has not been authorized. It has not been revealed, obviously, through the mode of the agency of God the Holy Spirit to them. I have not commanded him to speak, or wish he shall speak in the name of other gods. obviously, a telltale sign that the Holy Spirit's not there is adherence to some other form of religiosity that is sponsored, obviously, by SGA activity and human viewpoint in this regards. That prophet shall die. That's a false prophet. When Israel had their act together and they were functioning appropriately under the law, they were to police themselves spiritually in regards to those within the land who proclaimed that they were communicators of God to the people. And when they found those who were false in this respect, they were to be executed under capital punishment to separate this leaven from the nation, seeking to keep the purity of truth in reign and false doctrine in check. That was the law. A lot of other things that a lot of other kind of people they were supposed to kill too under capital punishment. But unfortunately, they would become lax and apathetic in regards to the law, and really you do not see a whole lot of kings, etc., that enforce these types of principles, apart from some of the exceptions, such as King David, etc. And people that held to God's standards, norms and standards, people that were maladjusted, they didn't like these kind of rulers. But those who were false teachers, who would get up, play fundy, as we would say today, superficially represent God inaccurately, they're to be checked out. Now, where's the loving God at? His love is for positive volition. That's where his love's at. For those who will align themselves and hold fast the truth of his word. So, in Deuteronomy 18:20, we see here a definition of a false prophet. And truly, God's divine design of what is to be done with them, which, if they was followed through, swift destruction was upon them. But this brings out more in this regards. So, 12, this phenomenon in regards to false prophets was all too common in the age of Israel. Again, as I stated, unfortunately, in representation, witness as a nation, as God's priest nation, false doctrine characterized Israel too often. And where does it come from? It comes from false prophets, false teachers, if you will. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, the warnings given in anticipation of all this, as Moses gives it in regards to the Exodus. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams rises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, as we dealt with this in the doctrine, the sign of the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying that let us go after other gods. Does a miracle, but he's saying let's engage in religiosity instead, in pagan idolatry, along with this. See, let us go after gods whom ye have not known, and let us serve them, which is the dominant religious counterfeit of the ancient world to true faith. Of God and his plan centered on Christ, Messiah. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. There's one way you can define and characterize whether someone really loves God or not. With all their heart and with all their soul. Do they adhere to sound principles of Bible doctrine? To the degree they don't. To the degree they disregard or fail to exemplify the love that we're supposed to have, making him the number one priority. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him. You shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. Like your life depends on it. It does. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, verse 5, shall be put to death. To reiterate, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you into the land of Egypt, from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery, all picturing salvation. To seduce you. The false teacher is a matter of seduction, enticement through the SGA. From the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, conduct your life as a believer, so you shall purge the evil from among you. So that's in definite anticipation, to be on alert at all times, and the infiltration of these types in 1 Kings 22:5-28. See example here. Verse 1, and 3 years passed without war between Aram and Israel. And it came about in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. At this point in time, the nations had been divided over northern and southern kingdom. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? We are still doing nothing to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram." Argument over real estate. Like that's not going on anymore. And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to the battle of Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." All right, I'll be your ally. We'll join together as one, like they should be. But anyway. And then verse 5, "Moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire first for the word of the Lord." Use some good sense there. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. And see where he gets his instruction from those who are designed and commissioned to be communicators of God's word. "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain?" And he said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." Prophets together validate one another. And this is what God's message is. Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him?" As the king of Israel got his prophets. And Jehoshaphat, "Well, what about here in our region? Don't we got any prophets? These are kind of cool people to have around." The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Well, there is this prophet, but he's a jackass. He doesn't like me. You know, that's the attitude. That's because he's negative. He's rebellious against God. And therefore, Bible doctrine goes against the very grain of his existence. It rubs it the wrong way. But Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." "But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil." Verse 8, "He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. Then Zedekiah, the son of Chenana, made horns of iron for himself and said, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Arameans until they are consumed." And all the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." So you got these massive prophets that are saying, "Yeah, do this. God's for you. Go for this." You know. But then you got this one, and this shows you the spiritual condition of the country at this point in time, the nation at this point in time. Then the messenger went to summon Micaiah, spoke to him, saying, "Behold, now the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably." Now, obviously, you can't argue against this. Look at all these prophets. All in unison. All in agreement. They got if all these people are saying the same thing, it's got to be right. Well, not necessarily. But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." Well, if that's what God reveals to me, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, nothing against him in that sense. But on the other hand of the coin, it's going to be what God tells me. When he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? Shall we hold up on this?" And he answered him, "Go up and succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." That's the king of Ramoth. He's dealing with their enemy. Then the king said to him, "How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" He's calling him a liar. Now, this is what the prophets, true prophets, had to put up with. So he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, like sheep which have no shepherd. The Lord said, these have no master, let each of them return to his house in peace. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? And Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. One depicts mercy, one depicts judgment, right and left. The Lord said, who will entice Ahab to go up and fall Ramoth-Gilead? And one said this, while another said that. Then the Spirit came forward, stood before the Lord, and said, I will entice him. The Lord said to him, how? The Spirit, he sent a spirit to deceive negative volition. And he said, I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you are to entice him and also prevail, go and do so. And you think, well, that's kind of a dirty trick for God to do that. No, it's not. It's a test. It's a test, see. Under his permissive will, he allows demon influence to be engaged, false information through prophets, because you have negative volition that is behind all of this. The spirits there are actually, I have in my notes, personified, being personified as a prophecy, testing the spirits type of deal. So you are to entice and also prevail, go and do so. Verse 23, now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all these your prophets. The Lord has proclaimed disaster against you. So Micaiah gives him the true prophecy. This is a test. And a test whether or not you will listen to God and the true communicator set before you in this respect. And you say, well, how would he know the difference? Get in fellowship. Okay, verse 24. Then Zedekiah the son of Chenaanah came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, I had to put up with that crap. How did the Spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you? Trying to intimidate him, making fun of him. Micaiah said, behold, you shall see on that day when you enter an inner room to hide yourself. Then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this man in prison and feed him sparingly with bread and water until I return safely. It's what you get for doing your job. It's how people will react in an antagonistic way when they're negative and reject the truth. And Micaiah said, if you indeed return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me. You want your proof. If you come back, you're successful. Okay, then you'll know that I was a false prophet. He said, listen, all you people. So they went and did their thing, got killed. So anyway, Jeremiah 5:31, but see, that's just an example of the multitude of false prophets that were functioning. And they're all in one at one time, Jeremiah 5:31. Time of Jeremiah the prophet. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule on their own authority. And my people love it so. But what will you do at the end of it? Ezekiel 13, the entire chapter. False prophets are condemned. That'd be a good place to pick up too soon. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit to guide us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.